regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad to be with you today. Apologies for not having a show on Monday. I was actually about halfway through recording Cam and Company when the power went out as the first round of storms blew through Central Virginia and was unable to complete my program yesterday. So thankfully I had pre-written some stories on Sunday night with in anticipation of these storms coming through. Wasn't as bad as what they were calling for, but yeah, I was one of the lucky few to lose power on Monday and then lost it again briefly on a Monday night, but that didn't impact you at all. So we're going to talk about today what we were going to talk about yesterday, and that is the close of the Virginia legislative session. Boy, and what a difference a couple of months can make. You know, in early January, the state had pretty good gun laws. Not great. I mean, we didn't have constitutional carry, but reasonable concealed carry laws. No bans on so-called assault weapons. We had a red flag law, but there were still some guardrails in place there. And I got to tell you, come July 1st, I'm anticipating this state is going to look very different. More than a dozen gun control bills sent to Governor Abigail Spanberger. I suspect she is going to sign the vast majority of them. And those that she doesn't sign, I anticipate she'll allow those to become law without her signature. She's got a couple weeks to put pen to paper. I also think we're going to be looking at a big signing ceremony with, you know, groups like Giffords and Moms Demand Action and Everytown, all invited to the governor's office to stand behind her and look approvingly as she signs these infringements into law. So I want to talk about the waning days of the session, including the last day of the session, where there's some pretty crazy stuff that happened. John Comerford, NRA ILA executive director, spoke with him, I believe it was just last week, but he is with us once again to talk about the crazy end to a session that hopefully is going to lead to a lot of litigation being filed by Second Amendment groups in the future. Take a look and a listen. John, thanks so much for coming on the program today. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, absolutely. And I guess happy signy die, although I guess the only good news about the Virginia session coming to a close is that there's no more damage that can be done this session, right?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. But we are, you know, if they would have had more time, they would have done more damage. So I'm incredibly nervous about next year. But we see what we're facing right now. And there is a pile of legislation sitting on Governor Spanberger's desk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, including up to the last day of the session, they were working on these bills. I'm even a little concerned. I don't know that it's going to happen, but, you know, the Democrats, they managed to pass more than a dozen gun control bills, John. They couldn't pass a budget for the state of Virginia, so they're going to have to go back into special session at some point to pass a budget. Hopefully, we don't see more gun control bills introduced during that special session. But, you know, the last day of the session, they're passing legislation, you know, dealing with storing firearms and vehicles. And this was crazy. The House and the Senate versions differ. So this goes to a conference committee. What comes out of the conference committee is a bill that exempts members of the General Assembly from their own gun control law. And the House approves this, yep. Right? And then it goes over to the Senate. And I guess Republicans in the Senate saw this and started raising holy hell about it. So the Senate kind of shamed into passing a bill. They had to go back into conference. And we can't accept this. They go back into a conference committee. They come out. That language has been removed. Then the Senate passes it, goes back to the House. Again, this was one of their top priorities, right? Over what was supposed to be the purpose of this session. The primary purpose of this session was to come up with a budget for the next 2 years. They couldn't get that done, but they had the time to go after our right to keep and bear arms and to try to exempt themselves in the process.
You're exactly right. It's hypocritical what they're doing down there. You nailed it on the head. It wasn't really until the attention was laid on this by the gun owning community. And this is where the pressure really does work. Just like we saw, you know, that ridiculous suppressor tax get tossed. Some other things move to next year. Pressure, you know, you don't create a diamond overnight, and pressure does work. It reminds those folks in the House who who won districts that they quite frankly really shouldn't have. They second guess what they're actually working on. But you see what they do without the pressure, exempting themselves from this role, allowing for themselves to provide for their own self-defense to and from work, but not you or I. And that's just, it's ridiculous. And the pressure did, the tension that came to it, and they ended up stripping that out. But, you know, that's why we have to keep the pressure up on the governor. I know there's frustrations because it seems like she's taking the phone off the hook and people aren't able to get through. But keep those phones ringing. I want the staff in that office to hear phones ringing in their sleep for the next 60 days because so many gun owners called that office. So we got to keep the pressure up.
We absolutely do. And as you say, even if this doesn't impact the governor herself, it can impact the staff. And, you know, this is one area where gun owners can act. I would also encourage folks, you know, we've seen, I think at this point, about 48 counties, independent cities who have either reaffirmed their status as Second Amendment sanctuaries or adopted new language. I would also encourage folks to keep contacting their county supervisors, their county sheriffs, their Commonwealth attorneys, you know, and let's keep up the pressure at the local level, too, because this is another way to push back on the anti-gun agenda and to let the Democrats in Richmond know that most of Virginia does not support what they're doing.
Yeah. And one of the best ways that gunners across the Commonwealth, their family and friends can send a message to this new crop of lawmakers in Richmond is to vote down their referendum on wrecking the congressional districts across the Commonwealth in Virginia on April 21st. You know, don't wait until April 21st. Vote early. You know, if you're getting targeted ads on your phone through social media, try voting early this election cycle and watch them stop. That's how you know your vote was counted and no one's going to waste money on someone who voted early. So that's a little cheat code for the conservative voters out there to get the ads to stop. But also a lot of life can happen between now and April 21st. So make sure you get out and get out to vote whenever it's convenient for you and vote this down. I mean, you know, join the governor in her own words on going against this ridiculous gerrymandering and redistricting. So it's really a chance for gun owners to make their voices heard. The governor's not answering the phone in her office. It's been abandoned, but she's going to pay attention to the results on April 21st.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been encouraged that the early voting trends so far show that these congressional districts that are currently held by Republicans, more votes cast in those districts than in the districts that Democrats currently occupy. So I think that message is being heard. But we do need to keep up the vote, get out the vote effort and really, you know, again, put a stop to this ridiculous, the most extreme gerrymandering in the country I saw yesterday. You know, and this, again, comes on the heels of Virginians voting for a constitutional amendment to have nonpartisan commissions draw up the boundaries, right, to do this redistricting process. All of that would be scrapped in favor of this Democrat power grab. And I've heard, you know, Democrats say, well, listen, we're just responding to what the Republicans did in Texas and what President Trump is calling for. I don't know about you, John. I always grew up hearing my parents say two wrongs don't make a right. So if you're bothered by what you know they're doing in Texas, if you're bothered by what they're doing in other states, it doesn't mean that we do the exact same thing here. In fact, I think it's all the more important that we say, no, we're not going to have these partisan gerrymanderings. We are going to abide by what the will of the voters was just a few years ago. And now, again, it's up to us to reiterate that will.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it really minimized. It's a chance for the rest of Virginia to send a message to Northern Virginia, which dominates the political landscape across the Commonwealth, that you too have a voice. And look, nobody wants to be from a congressional district shaped after a crustacean. I mean, you know, the fact that we have a lobster district is just ridiculous. But after that, we're going to remind her where gunners stand when we file these important lawsuits and try to get injunctions against some of the most egregious infringements on the Second Amendment with these core challenges that are sitting ready to go.
You know, and one other thing before we talk about what's going on at the national level, you know, we had this attack at Old Dominion University in Norfolk last week, and we saw a number of Democrats respond to this terror attack, which was committed by somebody who had been sentenced to 11 years in prison for materially supporting ISIL. Who's a prohibited person. He apparently acquired his gun illegally by somebody who had been charged with straw purchasing, but was adjudicated by the Biden administration, they decided not to prosecute him. They made him write a letter of apology, and that was how they resolved his criminal case. They could have put him away in federal prison for years. Democrats started talking about this being, you know, a gun violence problem. Democrats handpicked candidate for Virginia 7, which is where I would live if this redistricting passes. Shannon Taylor was one of those who talked about the scourge of gun violence. You had the prosecutor, the Commonwealth attorney in Norfolk, who actually blamed this on the cult of gun absolutism, right? Said nothing about the perpetrator of this attack. And then he was asked about it afterwards. You know, now that we know more about what happened, do you stand by your comments? Absolutely, he said. You know, if there wasn't a gun there, this wouldn't have been that bad. So never mind the fact that, again, we had, you know, multiple gun laws that were already on the books that were broken. We had multiple opportunities to keep both of these individuals behind bars, but those weren't taken. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious your response to the Democrats' response to this terror attack in Norfolk.
Well, it just shows the delusional world that the radical left lives in. There are all sorts of hot button issues, which your listeners are probably frustrated about. You know, the sports issues, all these other things, their stance on illegal immigration. But it just goes to show they're not serious about putting criminals behind bars. The only thing they're serious about is disagreeing with the way you and I live our lives and the freedom that we enjoy. We see the radical left continue to try to dictate to law-abiding Americans how they should act and how they should conduct their lives, but yet not do anything to keep either one of us safe. And in fact, removing the tools that we use to keep ourselves and our family safe. It is ridiculous. You know, and it's even more ridiculous that I could even slightly understand that in his manila folder of radical left talking points, that the only things that were in there were dealing with law-abiding gun owners and their firearms and vilifying the firearm. And he didn't have a section on terrorism. But then to double down on that later, when you know what the facts are, that you know that these brave ROTC candidates subdued and ended this threat with their bare hands, essentially, because they weren't availed that right to defend themselves. And also, look, you see what happened in Michigan, and you see what happens when there is a security plan and they take their self-defense seriously. And everyone knows that that community is being targeted as much as anyone. And you see a different result there. The threat is met with force and handled appropriately. But the radical left, they continue to just focus on our way of life. And that's living with the freedom that we cherish. And they don't like it. I mean, that's what they're doing in Richmond is solely focused on trying to legislate how they feel we should live.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, that Commonwealth attorney, too, said, you know, that the reason why this happened is because we care more about guns. We care about little kids in school. We care more about guns. We care about college students. You know, that to me is such a vile slander. The reason why so many of us support the Second Amendment is because we care about others, because we want to protect ourselves, the people that we love. And if he doesn't get that, you know, I don't know, man, maybe he needs to spend some more time in real America, and away from his fellow radicals. But, before I let you go, I also want to ask you, I saw a post from Knox Williams for the American Suppressor Association on X yesterday, and, looked like a bunch of smiling folks at the White House talking suppressors. And I noticed your face among them. So what can you tell us about, your trip to the White House and what was discussed?
Well, you probably noticed because I only get to wear green ties about 1 week a year, and I think I had one on that day. But look, the Second Amendment has a lot of friends in the White House and the administration. I've said this probably on your program before. It took 2 or 3 years in the first administration before we had anyone in the White House who really understood firearms. And what you saw was a group of industry executives, our friends at the American Suppressor Association and others, sitting down with multiple staff members in the administration who truly understand the Second Amendment, who live this the same way we do, who take part in shooting events on the weekends. And what we did was have a sit down on various policy issues, talk about things that the gun community would like to see the Department of Justice do, what we would like to see ATF do, and open some things up. You know, our manufacturers should be able to export suppressors, for instance, and things like that. So they're there. They're a willing party. They are willing to listen. They respect the Second Amendment rights. I know not every listener is 100% satisfied with DOJ and others, but they want to hear what could be done better, how they can treat the Second Amendment properly and not as a second class right, like we've seen the courts do. So it was a good group to get in there, and their voices were heard, and the folks listening truly understand the Second Amendment. So the listeners should stay tuned. I think there'll be a few things coming in the near future.
All right, John, listen, man, I really appreciate you joining us on the program. Happy St. Patrick's Day again.
Same to you.
Mindful of the mobs of drunken staffers and interns on Capitol Hill today, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to John for joining us on the program. We will be obviously paying very close attention to what happens with these gun bills in the Commonwealth. Now, before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, I want to talk about this for a second. From city streets to mountain trails, your gear should go wherever life takes you. And that's why at Modern Rugged Leather, every bag is handcrafted from premium, responsibly sourced leather. It's designed to look sharp, last long, and tell a story of its own. Every stitch, each buckle, each strap reflecting timeless craftsmanship, and it's backed by a lifetime warranty. Because quality shouldn't quit when the adventure begins. So whether it's the boardroom or the back roads, Modern Rugged Leather helps you carry confidence every step of the way. It took me to the Apple Store this weekend, or at least it took my laptop to the Apple Store this weekend. Needed to get some work done and threw it in my Modern Rugged bag, and great. It worked very well. Modern Rugged Leather, modern style, timeless durability, backed for life. Life takes you places. Make sure your gear keeps up. Shop the full collection and find yours today at modernrugged.com. Again, that is modernrugged.com. I got to tell you, when you go to modernrugged.com, you can find bags like this, but you can also find all kinds of other great stuff, including everything from belts to bags. A lot of stuff there at modernrugged.com for you to check out. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there. With a case out of Missouri, a man accused in 2023 Jefferson City Park shooting, sentenced to probation. And he actually wasn't the only person involved in this shooting that ended up with a probationary sentence. This is from Columbia, Missouri. Daywan Crossland of Jefferson City pleaded guilty to unlawful use of a weapon. He was sentenced to 5 years of probation. He had previously been charged with accessory to first-degree assault, accessory to unlawful use of a weapon, as well as armed criminal action. Crossland was actually injured in this shooting at the park, but he was accused of pulling a gun and firing during an argument at a party with about 100 people at McClung Park in Columbia. Police found at least three different shell casings, different calibers of ammunition at the park. So Crossland gets 5 years probation. Actually 2 years ago in 2024, a guy named Raymond White Murray of Fulton, Missouri, ended up pleading guilty to aiding and abetting a shooting. He got 5 years of supervised probation. He originally faced that charge as well as a count of armed criminal action. And then last year, a guy named Laquan Booz of Jefferson City pleaded guilty to accessory to unlawful use of a weapon. He got 5 years supervised probation. And last year as well, an individual named Savon Bird pled guilty to unlawful use of a weapon. He got 5 years supervised probation as well. He had originally been charged with first-degree assault, unlawful use of a weapon, and armed criminal action. One witness actually said that Bird took out a gun from his waistband, pointed at several people at the party, and then fired. Court documents say the witness's account lined up with video recordings seen by law enforcement. So why Bird got this plea deal is unknown, but again, virtually everybody arrested and charged in this shooting at a park in Missouri back in 2023 has now been offered plea deals that result in nothing more than a probationary sentence. So when you hear prosecutors in Missouri talk about, well, we need stronger gun laws, no. Really, what we need are to enforce the, or what we need to do is enforce the laws that are currently in place. And it sounds like he had eyewitness testimony in this case. You had video surveillance in this case. So this is not a lack of evidence here. It appears to be a lack of will on the part of prosecutors. The idea that, well, let's just, you know, get a conviction. Even if the terms aren't great, we can get that conviction. We can tout our 97% conviction rate or whatever. And if it spits violent offenders right back out on the street, so be it. Another plea deal awaits them the next time they're arrested. On to today's armed citizen story from Louisiana, where an apparent self-defense shooting left one person hospitalized in New Iberia. The report from, I believe this is a Fox 15 in Louisiana, said that the officers responded to a home in New Iberia Monday about 11:30 in the morning, found a man with a gunshot wound. Captain Leland Lassiter with the New Iberia Police Department said the victim was taken to a hospital in Lafayette for treatment, but at this point, it appears that the victim of the shooting was actually the initial aggressor in some type of incident. Police have said very little about what led to the shooting, but Lassiter said that at this point in the investigation, it appears the person who was shot in self-defense. Don't know if that was the homeowner or resident in the home, but hopefully we'll get more details out of New Iberia here in the future. We can bring you an update to this story. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Yes, it's another story of a vehicle that went off the road into water in Florida. I'm starting to think maybe they need to be spending some money on guardrails in some of these places. In this case, though, there were Navy sailors who actually saved this Pensacola man after his vehicle ended up in the water. Fox 10 in Florida reporting that the 37-year-old man is alive thanks to a quick action by a pair of Navy sailors who saw the guy's car plunge into Bayou Chico Creek Sunday night. And that car quickly became submerged. It happened about 9 p.m. in Escambia County. Florida Highway Patrol says that the man suffered a medical emergency while he was driving on U.S. 98 at, quote, a high rate of speed. The car ran a red light, actually went through a gas station parking lot before it collided with a concrete parking bollard. But then that bollard didn't stop the car. The car then went through a chain link fence, went onto a boardwalk, and then ultimately crashed into Bayou Chico Creek and was completely submerged. There were two Navy sailors assigned to the Naval Aviation School's command at Naval Air Station Pensacola that saw this and immediately rendered aid. One of the sailors jumped from this boardwalk that was by the chain link fence down into the water, could hear the driver knocking on the window, and was able to break through the sunroof and pull the driver from the submerged vehicle, taking him to shore, where the other sailor started rendering first aid until Escambia County paramedics arrived. The Highway Patrol reported that the sailor who went into the water swam back and actually went back into the vehicle to make sure that there was nobody else inside. He was taken to a local hospital, treated for injuries that were sustained in the rescue. The driver taken to a hospital for treatment of injuries not believed to be life-threatening. Again, a very scary situation, but the heroism on display by that sailor to jump into the water, break through that sunroof, take out the driver, and then go back again just to make sure that there was nobody else inside. I hope that we learn the names of these sailors going forward, but in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. We thank you for your very, very good deeds. That is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company, and I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day today. We are keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment information from all across the nation, whether that is, you know, new bills that are could become law, some good ones as well as some bad ones. I shouldn't just shrug my shoulders because we are seeing some progress in some states, just not in Virginia where I live. Plus, you know, armed citizen stories and really everything that touches on our right to keep and bear arms. You can find it at BearingArms.com. If you like what you see, I would also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold or VIP Platinum member. Use the promo code FIGHT when you go to BearingArms.com/subscribe, and you can get 60% off your membership. You'll get great benefits no matter what tier you choose, but you'll also be supporting the work we're doing no matter what tier of membership you choose, and I want to thank you for that as well. Have a great rest of your 2A Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.